Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Time for a very tactical edition, that was an easy one, of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey, and I am joined by Basher.
Oh, we got introductions this week. You know it's going to be real.
They're coming at you live through the power of the internet. I guess it's not live. With the power of RTX voice.
You should have told them we weren't using any kind of extra stuff, and then say moving to my new podcast studio that I'm working on at Staples.
Oh yeah, forgot about that whole thing. On this week's episode, we're going to be talking about Gears Tactics, the latest release from Microsoft, the Coalition, and Splash Damage. But before that, if you're listening to us, why haven't you rated us, man? I thought we were cool.
It takes like 2 seconds. Just clickety clack over there, swipe up and down, you get to go.
And it helps us out tremendously. I promise it does. It takes 2 seconds, but it's a lifetime of happiness.
Lifetime. I wish that was true.
Let's talk about Gears Tactics. This is developed by a partnership between Splash Damage and the Coalition from Microsoft. Regularly priced at $59.99. It is available on PC, on the Steam and Windows Store, with an Xbox One version coming at some point in 2020. There is no DLC as of now, and I assume it'll be Xbox One X enhanced since it will be a Microsoft title, and there's even rumors that it will be a launch title for the Xbox Series X.
Whoa, slow down there. Real impressive start.
A lot of X's and all the Xbox, Xbox One X, Xbox Series X.
Yeah,
X,
the name is
X, don't give it to you.
The naming convention is still terrible, but that's fine.
You know, it's like at some point someone was just like, well, what if we call it like Xbox 3? And someone was like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
It was fired on the spot.
If you've never looked into it, it's actually a fascinating. The information's out there. If you look at, originally there was at one point the Xbox 360 was going to be called the Xbox 3. Let me take that back. The name was on the table to call it Xbox 3, and that was specifically because the PlayStation 3 was coming out, and they thought Xbox 2 people would get confused and think the PlayStation 3 is better because it had the number 3 on it. That's a real thing that happened.
All right.
There's your Xbox history lesson for the day. Gears Tactics. This is the tactical version of Microsoft's famous third-person cover-based shooter, Gears of War, now simply known as Gears. And we've played it. Let's talk about it.
Listen, I love me some strategy games. Big fan. I'm a sucker for them, honestly. It doesn't take much. The bar is low for these games for me. It's like, do I take turns and pick my shots? Then I'm having a lot of fun. There are certain ones that stand out for me, though. I mean, like some of the new favorites I have are like clearly the XCOM series or the revival of it. And then the
I think we should preface it by saying, like, this genre, if you're not familiar, is basically a so what do you want to call it? It's a cover-based game, but it's from an isometric view, and you're sort of putting your units into place, and then there's a dice roll. It'll tell you the percentage of what you're going to hit, not hit, and then there's abilities and stuff like that. So if you haven't played this game, but you have played something like an XCOM, it's very, very similar. Like, I don't want to call it the same game, but...
Yeah, if you haven't played this genre at all before, then you're... I think any game puts you pretty much in over your head. I mean, like, this is not the easiest genres to get into, I think.
No, it is complicated.
But that said, one of the good things going for Gears Tactics is the lack of complexity, in a way. Because it's definitely not going hardcore with this genre. It's not trying to knock XCOM's title off the head. It's really just kind of going for the baseline. Here's what this genre is. Let's ease you into it. Slap a nice coat of Gears on there and get you familiar with the setting and have at it.
That's the word I'm looking for. I think when this game was first shown off, when you think about it, like, Gears makes sense, right? Gears makes sense to put in this genre because it was already a cover-based game. And it turns out that was probably how this game got brought up in the R&D development phase, because it is literally Gears of War, but the camera's just swung out. Even, like, when you go up and you run up and chainsaw someone, it looks exactly like it does in Gears. So it's interesting to see that just how easy that transition was to go from third-person shooter to tactical, I don't want to say tactical shooter because that's not the right word, tactical
strategy camera view and style. Shooter?
Strategy, yeah. So, but no, yeah, I will agree that I don't want to call it the streamlined version of the genre because I don't think that's fair, but I think its focus is on the combat versus the preparation phase.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not trying to be stellar in the genre, which is good and bad, because if you shoot for the, because when you're making video games, I notice a lot is when they shoot for the moon and they don't make it, fans and players in general just don't receive it well. It's a lot of harsh criticism. So they tend to play it safe. And in this case, this is a very safe strategy game. And it's for better and for worse.
Yeah. For some odd reason, my brain is like, it's saying like, it disagrees with part of that, but I don't know what part it is. Like, it's safe is the right word, but at the same time, I think... Splash damage, I think, is sort of the odd man out here. Like, you know, when it comes to splash damage, is the game safe because splash damage is sort of a, I don't want to call them unproven, but not a typical AAA developer? Or is it safe because Gears of War is a very particular thing and they didn't want to stray too far from it and overcomplicate it? So yes, I guess I'm saying I agree.
It's probably a little bit of both, honestly, at the end of the day. I mean, you don't want to make a Gears game that people can't play. You know, it's like,
right.
If you're slapping Gears on there, it needs to be it doesn't matter if it's a racing game, it needs to be the easiest racing game in the market. You can't Gran Turismo that thing. So as a fan of the genre, there's a lot to like here. So if you ever played an XCOM, for example, the base level things are all there. You take your turns, you line up your shots, you set up your players, you set up your characters. The big thing here is the Overwatch mechanic, where essentially after you set, well, you can do it during any time during your phase, but you set up this Overwatch ability where you have this Madden, was it Madden 2011? I want to say cone type feel. Whereas
that was like an 07 thing.
Was it 07 thing?
Yeah. That was the precision passing.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. Like it's that awful mechanic. But you get this basically cone area of effect where it's like if any enemy during the enemy phase, if they walk into that area, your unit will pop up and shoot. It's on paper, it's fine. Like, and I say that because playing other games in this genre, the Overwatch mechanic was already there. Sometimes it's been built into the gameplay where it's automatic. In this game, it's like they said, we need to stand out in gameplay somehow. Let's really, really emphasize this Overwatch mechanic. And I think very few times you feel like it really pays off in a way that is satisfying. Would you agree with that?
Man, I don't know. The Overwatch mechanic was something that... I want to preface this by saying I'm suck at this game. I have played XCOM. I have played the Mario and Rabbids game, which was essentially an XCOM game. And I have to play all of them on normal or easy because for whatever reason, my brain, even though I'm good at like chess and stuff like that, I could never think a turn ahead, if that makes sense. I was always putting myself in situations that I shouldn't be in. And the Overwatch mechanic is actually kind of good for that because it sort of I don't want to say it forces you to think about it, but it forces you, the fact that it's not automatically on is a different layer of sort of introducing you how to play the game. The fact that I have to think about my movement points and I have to sort of make the decision if I want it on or off, if I want the Overwatch mechanic on or off, I have to commit to it kind of thing. So for that reason, I don't even remember what your question was anymore.
I guess the question was, with it being such a major focus in the gameplay, do you feel like it is truly effective in a way where it's like, yes, I nailed that Overwatch. Like you get a sense of accomplishments, to quote EA, whereas like you set up the perfect Overwatch and turn over type thing.
Yes and no. I think part of the problem is that because I play on normal and easy, I don't know how much better the AI is on those harder difficulties. On easy, the AI just basically runs into it every time.
They still do it.
Like you put on Overwatch and they just run straight into it kind of thing. It never usually changes how they approach it, but it changes how you're going to approach your move after that, basically. And I think it's a good thing. I think if I had to land on it, I think having direct control over it and having to sort of rely on it is a good thing because of the genre can be hard to get into. And I think it makes it easier to. But also that being said, I think the game does a poor job of explaining what it actually does. Maybe this is just on me because I'm dumb, but I didn't know if you put the Overwatch cone closer to you, you do more damage and you have a better chance of hitting. Because apparently you can miss an Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, you can definitely miss an Overwatch. But I didn't know affecting the cone size affected your accuracy and damage.
That's what I've heard. The accuracy one makes sense. The damage one might be, they're saying, because it's closer and because there's more accurate, maybe you're going to end up doing more, you know, you have a better chance of hitting. But I have heard that the closer that the Overwatch cone is to you, which makes sense because the way the game works.
I'm not a fan of that.
It does because that's the farther you are away, like when you're normally playing the game, the less chance you have to hit kind of thing. This is a long-winded way of saying that the Overwatch mechanic is kind of the crux of this game because it plays like XCOM. It plays like you think it should. You got the numbers. You've got the special abilities. You've got the grenades, which are stupid overpowered, and I love them. you've got the execution, and it does a lot of things in gears. Like when you get an execution, you get more movement points. So it does a good job of making this game a Gears style XCOM game. But the Overwatch mechanic is one that it's such a crux of the game that I feel like it needed to be explained better. And
I struggle with it. I'm still not sold on it, even though I'm well into the game at this point. It's just a matter of, like, just what you said, just kind of like, there's some things I need the AI to be smart enough to do for itself. Like, on one hand, I get it. Like, oh, look at me. I set up the cone shorter so I can get the shot. But it's like, if I have separate classes for a reason. My Lancer right. class should be able to know this shot's ineffective. Like, let's not take it. As opposed to the shotgun guy who's taking the same shot from the same distance. Like, no, like I need you to do that work for me just because I don't feel like I should do it. It doesn't come second nature to me, rather. Right. So it's like, I'd rather that just be the case. But on top of that, it's just like, there's just a number of things in this game that keeps it from being the almost must play intro to RTS games for me. Because go ahead.
I don't want to jump the gun, but you know, when it comes to like, should you play this game? Like, I'm already sort of somewhere in the middle because the game is good. Like I have a good time playing it, and it's familiar enough from another genre that I was able to sort of hop right in, but there's just something about it that's sort of keeping it from being that like Gears 2. It's like, dude, you've got to play Gears 2. Like, you could have skipped that first one, you would have been fine. But Gears 2 was such a step up that it was like, you got to play this game. And when it comes to Gears Tactics, like, I've got a friend that asks, like, oh, so like, should I play that game? And I kind of was, you know, I had to preface it. Like, I had to start asking questions. And
it's not, and doesn't do a good job for either party, I feel like. Because right. for the party that's like, you've never played these type of games before, you want to kind of jump in, I wouldn't say, like, this is not a genre you jump in shallow and, for lack of a better way to say it, and learn the wrong way to swim. Like, you kind of have to learn the right way to swim right off the bat to really enjoy this genre, I think. And for people that enjoy this genre, like myself, I don't... There's just a few things there that I just kind of like... This genre has had a kind of second life recently. And there's enough games out there to look at and say, all right, let's take that good idea, that good idea, that good idea, leave that bad idea. So, for example, I really hate the XP progression in this game.
It creates a
feeling where your units don't really matter anymore. Like, so whereas in another RTS game, you might have a unit that you've been using since mission 2 or 3. That unit now is a boss by mission 10, 11. Like, it's halfway through the skill tree, if not more. It's beefed up. And then when you lose that unit, it's like, no. We need to go back. I need to reload that save.
We have to go back.
Like, it's that serious. Whereas this game, it's, you can have Sid or Coltrane or Rochelle. It doesn't matter who you have in your party for however long. They kind of level with each other, and they don't really step up to be anything hero-like to me.
I struggle with it because I understand where they're coming from. Let me rephrase that. I understand how they landed there because it... Gears is just a different, it's just a different game, and it is a story-driven game, so they had to sort of do something. But also, like, that stuff can be crazy overwhelming when it comes, like, the mission to mission of this game is it's non-existent for the most part. Like you can get crates and stuff during a level, which unlock modifiers and you can equip those, but that's basically it. Let me try that again. That's not only it. The hard part comes from the skill tree, and the skill tree is kind of a mess because you get so many passive abilities that they become impossible to sort of follow. And if I had to do that with four different characters, I think I would probably just start clicking stuff and and just be like, whatever, like 10% more damage. Sure. Whatever. Like,
right.
So I get it from both ends. Like, that's what she said. And it's just, I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, I have to preface everything. I feel like, well, yeah. It's got this, but it's got this. And like, I understand why they did it, but it's not quite there. Like, yeah.
It doesn't work. It's not clicking with me personally. It's just the matter. It's like you said, it's still gear. So it's still story driven. Therefore there's certain characters it's really annoying how every single mission has required characters.
Yeah.
And it's like,
what's
the point of, like, to your point, I see why they did it. It's a story-driven Gears game. I get that. But you now create a system where I don't care about Cid because he's part of the story. And in a sense that I'm going to do whatever, like, I'm not going to take care of anyone specifically, right? Because it's like watching a movie with it, like where the main character is Tom Cruise. Like, you're not dying at the end, bro, but we're good here.
Right. To me, it almost seems like they had to do a compromise somewhere, because part of, you know, when XCOM came out during those 360 days, everyone was basically just naming all of their units their friends, and that became such a crux of that game, of just be like, love them. You've got the execution, and it does a lot of things in Gears. Like, when you get an execution, you get more movement points. So it does a good job of making this game a Gears style XCOM game. But the Overwatch mechanic is one that it's such a crux of the game that I feel like it needed to be explained better. And
I struggle with it. I'm still not sold on it, even though I'm well into the game at this point. It's just a matter of, like, just what you said, just kind of like, there's some things I need the AI to be smart enough to do for itself. Like, on one hand, I get it. Like, oh, look at me. I set up the cone shorter so I can get the shot. But it's like, if I have separate classes for a reason, my Lancer class should be able to know this shot's ineffective. Like, let's not take it. As opposed to the shotgun guy who's taking the same shot from the same distance. Like, no, like I need you to do that work for me, just because I don't feel like I should do it. It doesn't come second nature to me, rather. So it's like, I'd rather that just be the case. But on top of that, it's just like, there's just a number of things in this game that keeps it from being the almost must play intro to RTS games for me.
Because
go ahead.
I don't want to jump the gun, but, you know, when it comes to, like, should you play this game, like, I'm already sort of somewhere in the middle, because the game is good. Like, I have a good time playing it, and it's familiar enough from another genre that I was able to sort of hop right in, but there's just something about it that's sort of keeping it from being that, like Gears 2. It's like, dude, you've got to play Gears 2. Like, you could have skipped that first one, you would have been fine. But Gears 2 was such a step up that it was like, you got to play this game. And when it comes to Gears Tactics, like, I've got a friend that asks, like, oh, so, like, should I play that game? And I kind of was, you know, I had to preface it. Like, I had to start asking questions. And
it doesn't do a good job for either party, I feel like. Because for the party that's like you've never played these type of games before, you want to kind of jump in, I wouldn't say like this is not a genre you jump in shallow and, for lack of a better way to say it, and learn the wrong way to swim. Like you kind of have to learn the right way to swim right off the bat to really enjoy this genre, I think. And for people that enjoy this genre like myself, I don't. There's just a few things there that I just kind of like. This genre has had a kind of second life recently, and there's enough games out there to look at and say, all right, let's take that good idea, that good idea, that good idea, leave that bad idea. So, for example, I really hate the XP progression in this game. It
Yeah, it's
creates
not
this.
great.
It creates a feeling where your units don't really matter anymore. Like, so whereas in another RTS game, you might have a unit that you've been using since mission 2 or 3. That unit now is a boss by mission 10, 11. Like it's halfway through the skill tree, if not more. It's beefed up. And then when you lose that unit, it's like, no. No, 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 no. We need to go back. I need to reload that
We have to
save.
go
Like,
back.
is that serious? Whereas this game, it's you can have Sid or Coltrane or Rochelle. It doesn't matter who you have in your party for however long. They kind of level with each other and they don't really step up to be anything hero-like. To me.
See, that's again, I struggle with it because I understand where they're coming from. I think, well, let me rephrase that. I understand how they landed there, because Gears is just a different, it's just a different game, and it is a story-driven game. So they had to sort of do something, but also like that stuff can be crazy overwhelming when it comes, like the mission to mission of this game is it's non-existent for the most part. Like you can get crates and stuff during a level, which unlock modifiers, and you can equip those. But that's basically it. No, I lied. Let me try that again. That's not only it. The hard part comes from the skill tree, and the skill tree is kind of a mess because you get so many passive abilities that they become impossible to sort of follow. And if I had to do that with four different characters, I think I would probably just start clicking stuff and just be like, whatever, like 10% more damage, sure, whatever. Like, so I get it from both ends, like that's what she said. And it's just again, I'm somewhere in the middle. Like I have to preface everything, I feel like, well, if it's got this, but it's got this, and like I understand why they did it, but it's not quite there. Like, yeah.
It doesn't work. It's not clicking with me personally. It's just the matter of, it's like you said, it's still gear, so it's still story driven. Therefore, there's certain character like it's really annoying how so not so many missions, every single mission has required characters.
Yeah.
And it's like,
But if you didn't
so
though,
what's
like
the point of like to your point, I see why they did it. It's a story-driven Gears game. I get that. But you now create a system where I don't care about Sid because he's part of the story. And in a sense that I'm going to do whatever, like I'm not going to take care of anyone
right.
specifically because you're it's like watching a movie with it like where the main character is Tom Cruise, like you're not dying at the end, bro. We're good here.
Right. To me, it almost seems like they had to do a compromise somewhere because part of, you know, when XCOM came out during those 360 days, everyone was basically just naming all of their units their friends, and that became such a crux of that game of just being be like, you know, we did it on this show, not this show, but my other show, of just like, dang it, Chris, why'd you miss that shot? You know, like it became kind of fun to do it. But at the same time, it seems like they were trying to bank on that so hard. It's like, well, we can't just have all hero characters because this genre now has this sort of thing around it of permadeath, of these characters that if they die, they die. But at the same time, like you said, since it's a story-driven game, if Cid dies, the game's over. So, but then if you have all hero characters, no one can ever die. So it's like, I mean, landed somewhere in the middle, and I guess I'm not a designer, but to me that seems like a problem that needs a solution, and I guess maybe this just isn't the solution.
It's definitely not for me. I mean, you can still only bring four people.
Four is the max, I believe.
Yeah, but you can play as more than four during a mission. No, you can't.
No.
Yeah, they just max out at four all the time, which is also not cool. But I get it. It's Gears.
Right.
I get it. But guys, you can. That's a major struggle with me with this game, because Gears is probably I do believe it's probably the best IP you can just throw kind of almost anywhere in a genre of video games and be like, we can make a Gears game out of that. We could do this. And this is one game that really lends itself to the Gears property. I just wish they weren't so held back by it being a Gears property. Because it's always a running joke that they don't admit to or don't let themselves in on, that four people are winning a war against millions of locusts and whatever, and grubs and whatever. This is one of those games that they could have said, all right, they could have went the Halo Wars route, where it's like, all right, instead of this, we already know the four squads over there being a blockbuster to save the world. So, like, let's be this core group of people, like almost 8 people, 16 people, however many people large, and like holding a real resistance. And it's like, there's so many things that the RTS genre could have lent itself towards making this game better, but I think it was partially crippled because it's like, no, we have to make a Gears game.
Right. And I don't want to say that's why it's crippled. That's why this game is crippled. Like, I think there are solutions around everything you just said, but I think that the compromises that they made might just be the wrong ones. Maybe there shouldn't have been. Maybe they should have just said, like, you know, similar to what you said, of just, there doesn't need to be a hero character simply because it's Gears of War. Like, you can write your way around that. You can have someone just be a commander or whatever. There were ways around it, and maybe it's just their solution isn't grabbing me. And I don't want to pick on Splash Damage, because I don't want to pick on a developer, but these guys don't exactly have a long track record of AAA games. You know, like, they worked on Brink and the Doom 3 multiplayer and the multiplayer for Gears 4. And they did a lot of the work. They did some work on Halo Master Chief Collection. And it's like, part of me wants to sort of hone in on that and just say, like, I feel like Microsoft should have given it more time or more money or a bigger developer or something. That being said, you know, every developer needs their first start. And that's, you know, sometimes you got to work on those ports before you can get to the big games. You know, look at Bluepoint. Bluepoint is a fantastic developer that is closely aligned with Sony. They've made some of the best remakes ever. Shadow of the Colossus remake is fantastic. And the rumor is they're working on their own game. And so, like, that's exciting. So maybe this was their attempt at that. Maybe they don't get there. And maybe the sequel will be far better because it'll have a bigger budget, et cetera, et cetera. They've got it under their, you know, they've got a game under their wing now. That's just, I guess that was a very long-winded way to say that it's rough. This game's rough.
It's a bit schizophrenic because by no means is the game bad. I mean,
no, like, I've never been playing this and been like, this game is bad. This is annoying.
Right. Exactly.
I've played it, and I've definitely had moments of just like
annoying. I used a lot. I would admit I've used the word annoying a lot to describe this game. The main annoyance by far, my biggest complaint, because everything else is almost designed by committee issue, whereas like it's like you said, there were problems and there was a committee got around a table, tried to solve it, and it came up with what I think it may be the improper solution. The main game design choice that they made that I despise is the annoyance and mission difficulty. It will spike in the middle at the end of missions just because they want it to. Like enemies don't just pop. Like enemies aren't in a game like XCOM. You almost feel like the enemy is always there, lurking, watching you, and there's this tension around every single move. Whereas in Gears Tactics, it's like, well, I know there's no enemies there, so I'm just gonna go here. And it's like, oh wait, I just got to the end of the mission, therefore they have to drop open three emergency holes and drop three more boomers out the sky just because we have to get back to point A. And it's like, it's lazy design.
That's not tactical. like the emergency holes are something that it makes sense in the context, but in the context of Gears of War, but it doesn't always make sense in the context of this style of game. I annoying was never the word that I used. It was more confusing, I guess. Like a lot of times I would be in a mission and I'd finish it or I'd be near finishing it, like you said, and like, all right, like cool, like I'm ready for this level to be over kind of thing. And then it's almost like the game was just like, nah, bro, like this has got to be more difficult. Like we can't let you get away with just beating the game. Like we've got to punish you for getting this far. And that's not fun. It's not fun when you drop dudes when they drop them, they just roll you. Like,
well, they drop like 6-9 at a time. Right. Like on top of the extraction point.
Right. And usually it's when you're close to it. So it's not even, it doesn't give you a lot of time to sort of, I don't want to say prep, but it would have been cool in one or two missions, but it's like every mission they want to do this. They really just want to drop people on you. And again, it's not fun. I don't understand how that passed, but it's not fun to do that. And that's what a game should be. And that's the most, I guess, annoying is the word I want to use. A thing to me is just, it didn't need all that. And without it, it'd be a better game. And it's kind of frustrating that it works that way, because I just feel like it shouldn't. But I'm not a designer, so I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, this feels very much like a Halo Wars 1 type game to me, where it's like, I do not hate this game.
Right.
I mean, I can't even say I dislike it, really. It's just not...
I don't want to say it should be better, because it's the first attempt, but it's also not, like, it's the first attempt for the gear genre to do it, but it's not, like you said, there's other games that do it. And it seems like the solutions that they came up to sort of craft it into the gear solution were just the wrong ones. But at the same time, I still want to play it, even with the annoying factors. But it's right on that line for me. Like it's right on that line of being, no, screw this game, I'm out. And yeah, like you should play this game. And which is tough for this, the point of the show.
I am never really I'm a much bigger fan of, we're going to try again to shoot for the moon. And if we miss, we miss, but you can at least see what we tried to do, rather than let's just aim for the closest star And it's, and I'm just not a big fan of these almost designed purposely entry points into genres games. Like granted, there needs to be a level between StarCraft and XCOM. Like they can't be all high level games. Like you have to have a lower level game where people kind of jump into and get the feel of the genre. But when you purposely kind of kneecap your own efforts and be like, no, we have to, for lack of a better word, dumb this down a bit. It's like, I'm not right. a fan of that. Just like, but like, make the best RTS you can first, and then let the chips fall.
Right. And to me, that I think it's a sticking point to me that I think this might have just been the wrong developer. I think if you wanted to create this game, if you wanted to sort of create a different entry point into this genre with the Gears of War style gameplay, like this needed a full team, you know, like this shouldn't have been done with the oversight of the Coalition. The Coalition should have done it. And it's or they should have went to the team that made XCOM and said, look, we want you to make this game. You know, that's what they did with Halo Wars 2. They went to Creative Assembly, who makes RTSs, and said, hey, make an RTS for us. And in my opinion, you know, we've talked about that, I really like Halo Wars 2 because I think it's a full-blown RTS, whereas the first one was a game trying to be an RTS, but still wasn't quite there. And that's kind of what I feel here, is that it's trying to be an XCOM-like game, and it you can kind of see through its mask. It's like, yeah, you're not fooling me, bro. Like,
I do want to give it credit as well, though, for comparing it to Halo Wars 1. Like Halo Wars 1 to me definitely, like, as a not huge Halo fan in general, Halo Wars 1 definitely felt like the cheapest paint of Halo skin, paint on a strategy game skin. But whereas this really does feel like they wanted to get a lot of Gears of War in there. This feels like a Gears of War game, and I think it did a very good job with that.
Yeah, I think that it's just because Gears of War makes sense in this genre, whereas Halo Wars, I think by Halo Wars 2 it made sense, but when they said they were making an RTS Halo, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. That's not a game that I want. And even after I played it, I was just like, okay, like that was cool, but it still just didn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, it's like, oh, we've got ODSTs and we've got soldiers and we've got armies, so therefore it sort of it's an RTS, like it makes sense. And I'm like, well, no, just because you have all of this doesn't mean like that franchise was never known for being it's a power trip fantasy. You play as one dude who just destroys everything. Whereas Gears, right, at least, you know, yes, you made the joke of it's four people taking on the war, but it sort of always felt like you were at war. You always were meeting different people. Your squad members were going in and out. Like, and then the third person cover based combat just made more sense to turn into an XCOM style game versus turning Halo into a RTS. And I think they got there by the time Halo Wars 2 rolled around.
I believe so as well.
Yeah. So, but all right, this has been a long, I feel like we're ranting about it, but I don't want to be, because like, I want it to be better than it is, I guess, is sort of where I'm at. And I'm truly at a crossroads of whether or not to recommend this game. I think it looks nice. I think it looks like a Gears of War game. The story is fine. I know we didn't really talk about it, but that's because there's not a lot to talk about. Because
it's Gears. There's never any story to talk about in Gears.
It gives you a little bit of insight to Kate, who is, you know, she's kind of the poster of the new Gears, whatever you want to call it, the new trilogy. So, because you play as her father, and then so you can probably deduce someone else who will come into the picture because you're playing as her father. And so it's got a little bit of of backstory, but it's not a major chapter in the Gears story. So like there's so much back and forth of I like it, but it's got these problems. So I don't know. So if when it comes to Game Pass or Pass, what do we recommend?
Man, I'm in a similar boat because if you're an RTS fan trying to get your RTS fix, it's like there's a lot here that you'll enjoy, but there's still a lot here that you'll get very frustrated by and say, screw it, I'm just going to play the new XCOM DLC. I'm not a big fan of recommending like games purposely made to intro you into a genre, therefore not trying to make the best genre game they can, but rather trying to make the most accessible genre game they can, which is what this really feels like to me. Even if you're one of those very weird people that think yours has a storyline and plot and whatnot, I mean, I can't honestly say that this is a must play for that. Like, this is not a must play game in terms of gameplay. It's not a must play game in terms of performance, power, and kind of visuals. It's not a must play game in terms of gameplay. Like this is a must play RTS. So it's like, in all the major ways, I can say this is, you should pass on and buy this one, but I'm still playing it,
right?
And I'm still getting my fix, so it's tough, man. Like, and there's enough games to play. You don't need to play this one, at least not right now. Like, it's,
I don't know, I lean towards passing on it, because I just, even though, let's say we finish it, which I guess, spoiler, I've seen the ending. We did run into some bugs, or you did, and sort of, in attempt to not run into that bug, which apparently you ran into twice, I sort of watch some of it on YouTube, because if this game would have crashed on me when I was playing it, I'm out. Like, the game is not good enough, and I don't care enough to be like, all right, like, I'll do this mission again, kind of thing. Not gonna happen with this game. And so, you know, when we get to the end, I still just don't feel like I'm not going to feel any different about
it. Right.
There's nothing at the end of this game that drastically changes. Like, there's an end boss fight that will sort of change things up, but there's nothing about it that's going to, it's not going to get better or worse. It sort of is stagnant through the whole thing. And for that reason, it's just, I'm just kind of like, I want to recommend it because I think there's enough here, but like, if I really had to think about it, I just don't think, if you're a Gears fan, it's not a must play. If you're a Firaxis and XCOM fan, I don't think this game is going to scratch that itch. Like, I don't think it's going to give you the same feelings and the same satisfaction that you're going to get from an XCOM game. So I struggle to say, like, if it's for beginners, I don't know, because there's some design choices in there that just I don't think are great for beginners. So it's just, it's a little too all over the place for me to recommend.
I agree with all of that. Man, this is, I think I say this almost each and every time, but the Microsoft exclusives, man, it's almost like if you're getting Game Pass, it's like, play everything that they don't publish, almost.
Right. Yeah, we haven't been too nice to their games on this show. Yeah. Like, I mean, Ori was fantastic. So.
Yeah, except for Ori, I want to say, like.
Yeah.
It's just like, Yeah, but yeah, to wrap it up, I agree with everything you said. There's not enough here for fans of like XCOM and games like it. It's not enough. I don't think there's enough here for Gears fans because they're coming here to chainsaw a bunch of stuff and they're gonna get a rude awakening when they try to chainsaw a grub and it doesn't work and they don't know why because the game doesn't really outright tell them. So
I feel like if the game was better at teaching you how to play it, I would have had a better time with it, but it's not like it's not the best. It's just kind of there. It doesn't. Yeah, there's something off about it. I don't know exactly what it is, but all right, we've been talking long enough. So I think it's fair to say that we're in agreement that you should pass on it and not pass it on.
Sadly, true.
Yes. So there you have it. When it comes to Gears Tactics, maybe play something else. You got all these different games on Game Pass. Maybe play something else. So, all right, that's going to do it for this episode. You can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. If you think Gears Tactics is the best game ever made and you think we're idiots, let us know. Or if you just want to talk about games or if you want us to play a certain game, let us know. gpopfans@gmail.com. All right, next week, Microsoft just dropped a bunch of games on day one. The same day, I might add, as the Gears of War Tactics. Now that I'm pulling up my magical Game Pass app. Sorry, my Xbox app. They also dropped Hyperdot, which was a day one, but that's one of those weird situations. But Streets of Rage 4, that one is legitimately on every platform the same day, and it was a day one Game Pass game that came out 2 days after Gears. So do with that what you will. But we're going to be playing Streets of Rage 4 as we attempt to play every game that is a new game on Game Pass. So we'll be back next week with Streets of Rage 4.
Rage in the streets.